You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome inside Studio 34, and this is Fantasy Sports Today. Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. CP, what's happening, man?
Yo, what's the deal with you, Greg? How's everything, my man?
All good, man. All good. What's going on with you?
Ain't nothing much. Chilling. Saw an interesting and entertaining basketball game last night.
Absolutely.
Maybe the best one of the year so far.
34 lead changes, 16 ties, and an NBA record, 40 made threes.
I didn't know that part about the NBA record, 40 made threes. That's news to me.
There you go.
I would have thought it would have been higher than that.
No, sir. Matt Wadika, how are you?
Doing well. Recovering from a delicious steak dinner, but doing well.
Meat sweats.
You got the meat sweats. It happens.
Yeah. 4:30 in the morning it happened.
Had a little Christian Leitner style last night.
Yeah, that turnaround. That was the Christian Leitner-X type turnaround. Christian Leitner had more pressure on him, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a regular season game.
It's a regular season game, but still, I felt like that was JB on LeBron, probably the best defender in the NBA.
Sure.
So he wasn't happy about it after the game either. They asked him a question about the block shot, the possession before that, mm-hmm. and he was like, yeah, I put it up there so he can block it.
What?
Well, he was being sarcastic.
He was being sarcastic, yeah. He didn't like the fact that the question was asked, so he was sarcastically replied, mm-hmm. I put it up there so LeBron can block it.
I mean, it's, what, February 8th? I don't want to get dramatic, but it really was kind of like a must-win.
Yeah, I think it was.
Not a must-win, but they needed to turn things around. There are certain points in seasons when you need to win games.
It would have probably been another team meeting after if they would have lost again.
I don't know.
How many team meetings have they had this year?
They were 4.5-point dogs. This isn't a must-win against Minnesota.
But you need a win against a team like Minnesota. They needed to change the culture in that locker room just to go out have a positive, you know, reinforcement. The All-Star break's coming up. Maybe they can start a little run here, you know.
You know, I understand what you're saying, but let's call it like a must-win.
Okay, must-win, not the term, but they needed it for...
It was a good win.
A feel-good team moment.
I agree with that. It was a
good win.
It's
the type of win that could be able to change their season.
Catapulting win.
Yeah. But they've played too many games before the break this year. That's the problem.
Well, what are you talking about? It's less games than ever, isn't it?
No, there's more games before the break. I think the second half of the season only has 25 games.
Oh, because they started 2 weeks early.
They started two weeks early,
but they spread the games out a little bit.
But they're still playing. They've played too many games by this point in the season.
You guys have the NBA trade deadline tonight.
Yeah, the trade deadline's today. It's not going to be... I don't think not much is going to happen.
You think DeAndre Jordan will get traded tonight?
I could see DeAndre Jordan getting traded, but... Does he make anybody that much better?
He's a good player, man. I know you don't like him, but he's a good player.
I don't like those commercials.
What about Michael Beasley? Can he help somebody now?
Oh, God.
I mean, look, he's done well for the Knicks.
The answer is yes. To me, Michael Beasley, even though he's been a well-traveled player, he's instant offense off the bench. He is absolutely, I think, could help somebody. Yes. I don't know why you should have negative.
I'm not a Michael Beasley guy.
Why?
I'm just not. The Bees don't do it for me. He just doesn't. Don't get me wrong. He's a dynamic scorer, but... He's not nobody that I would want on my team.
We'll take a break. Let's see some of the headlines from yesterday and the day before that I realized we didn't even get to. We'll do all that when we come back. FST on FNTSY.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
To jam, Greg?
Werewolves of London?
I mean, I don't know the name of it.
This is not a Sussman. I wouldn't associate it with you. I'm not saying you're not cultured and mixed in music.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Today's the 8th, right?
Today's the 8th. Today's the 7th of February, I think.
No, the 8th.
Same thing.
It's the 8th, man.
Unless my computer's lying.
7, 8. What's the difference?
We had a fun day. The Olympics is beginning. The Olympics began last night.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Did you know that?
Shout out to skinny Andy Reid.
Shout out to skinny Andy Reid, indeed. That was a thing. The Olympics. I want to break it down because we're talking about the Olympics every day here on FSD.
I want you coming in with gold medals.
I love silver medals. We should have opening ceremonies. Medals. Bring the torch.
Yeah.
Light the Olympic torch.
You see this place burn down.
I know.
By the way, our Olympic coverage every day can be sponsored by DKMS. You go to DKMS.org and make sure with the Olympics upon us, and the Olympics, a good way for the world to connect. And it reminds us to go to DKMS.org because you want to help somebody around the world, whether it's somebody you know, whether it's someone you don't, to ultimately donate your bone marrow. Even if it's just donating money to research or signing up to be on the donor list, it is extremely, extremely important to go to DKMS.org and sign up because you can save somebody's life. And we don't necessarily mean that with any hyperbole in any way. You can save somebody's life by going to DKMS.org and signing up for the donor list and one day donating your bone marrow or doing whatever you can to help these people. It's saving lives. It's extremely important. So please head on over to DKMS.org and do that. Last night in the Olympics, the mixed curling began. The mixed curling event. Are you into curling, Corey?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, well, think about this. When you say you're mixed, what does that mean to you?
Like black and Spanish.
I knew that was coming.
That's mixed, right?
No. So we're talking about a man and a woman in an Olympic event. Mixed doubles and tennis.
Like co-eds.
Yeah, or co-ed, yes.
Boy, girl.
All right, cool.
Yes.
So you can curl unisex curling.
It's mixed curling. There's a man and a woman on the team.
On the same squad.
Yeah.
All right, that's fun. Can they be married?
Yeah, of course.
Because then that will make the bond stronger.
Sure. Or they could be brother and sister like the U.S.
Oh, that's cool.
Like
that's
the U.S. Cool was last night.
That's the strongest bond.
Becca and Matt Hamilton for the U.S. defeated the OAR.
Becca and Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
All right. Then they defeated OAR. What country is OAR?
Olympic athletes from Russia, because Russia is not allowed in the Olympics this year.
So who they repping?
Basically what happened was Russia was banned from the Olympics because the entire team was doping. The entire team was doping.
Oh, everybody in the Olympics do that.
I think Putin was just like, line up, boom, yeah, boom, boom, whatever.
Oh, he was giving out the shots himself.
Yeah, no, I think so. But then there was like a bunch of athletes that like appealed. And they weren't allowing the nation of Russia to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So you could try to appeal this ruling, and if your appeal is granted, you could basically represent yourself, which is what Team OAR is doing, not the OAR is
so
banned.
Let me ask you this. If they win a gold medal, what national anthem do they play?
They play the Olympic anthem.
I heard within the last week or so that somebody was like repealing that decision, saying there wasn't enough evidence or something.
There's like 168 athletes that are like in limbo that could be appealed. They can ultimately get in the Olympics. The nation of Russia will not, but ultimately 168 athletes could have that ability, and they would represent the OAR, Olympic athletes from Russia. And last night, the U.S. defeated this team. I would like to hear Corey pronounce these names, if I may.
Listen, whenever I do this, I want the audience to realize and understand. Don't look at my computer, Greg.
No, I'm just moving out of the way.
There might be something crazy in there.
You're hiding stuff from me? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not hiding stuff from you, Greg, but I just don't know what's going on. All right, now, before I do this, I want the audience to understand that this is like, I'm not flavored, I can read. I'm reading since I was 3 years old.
Sure.
But but these words right here, these are just vowels.
Right.
I mean, these are just consonants.
I want you to actually try, though.
It's not vowels.
I don't want you to, like, do it for show or for radio. I want you to be able to try to say these names.
But these names have all, the last names have all consonants.
They are the Olympic athletes from Russia. The Hamilton brother and sister beat who?
Anastasia.
Yes.
And Alexandra.
Right.
And Anastasia last name is Anastasia last name is Galoza. Braz Galoza. And the dude last name is Crushing It. Crush Hellenic. So I can do these next dude, though.
Let's see here. So it's Anastasia Briscalova.
That's how you do
that?
That
was an easy one. Briscalova.
How is Briscalova an easy one?
Briscalova's an easy one. The next one's tough. It's,
what's his first name?
Alexander. Yeah, that right.
Alexander, I got that right.
Yeah, that one right. Alexander Krasilitsky.
Krasilitsky.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's pretty good. Vasily Gudin, you can get.
You know, that one was easy.
That was the coach. So there you go. The U.S. beat the 9th Korean curling. It was the first time ever the United States won a mixed curling event. Pretty cool, Matt.
Yeah, no, hey. Look, I think the state of Minnesota is going to be well represented in these Olympic draws. It's the winter time.
It's so cold out there.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're going to thrive here. It's good anytime we win a medal in anything.
Yep.
I'm excited for a little
bit. So that wasn't a medal. That was just the first round of the event. So... big tournament to take place, of course.
Yeah, but we're going to win. We got to have that attitude.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Other mixed curling action. The Norwegians won. They beat Canada 9-6.
I figure Canada would be good at that joint.
Agree, but they lost.
Yeah, but the Norwegians are in a cold climate as well. I got to think they got...
You had South Korea defeat Finland in the mixed doubles round one. Switzerland beat China... Well, there's two Switzerland teams.
That's not fair.
Oh, no, there's not. Oh, here we go. There's a session one and a session two. So the first session we won. There was a second session that we did not win.
We lost game two.
We lost our second session earlier this morning. Actually, it just finished, actually.
Are those members being deported?
It's the same team. They just had their second game. It was the Hamilton siblings wound up falling to the Canadians. Canadians beat us.
Well, they gonna be good. Canada's gonna be good in the Winter Olympics. You could just come to grips with it.
Yeah. Summer Olympics, not so much.
Summer Olympics, that's the United States dominate them joints.
Yeah. Caitlin Law's John Morris beat us.
They got regular names.
The Canadians. We lost. We lost 6-4.
Yeah, they're just like us.
They're just like us. Exactly, Corey.
Except they have health care.
So I knew you were going to say that. I don't want to look to my left.
I know, right? Let's not go down that foxhole.
No,
Let's bring it back.
Also, last night, our time, we had the luge start. A little training for the luge.
Is that not the scariest event?
The scariest thing ever.
It is, without a doubt, the scariest event. To put yourself on that thing, to go with those speeds. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be thrilling, but it's got to be terrifying.
Right. And then we had some ski jumping. That training happened. And
homegirl's into ski jumping, right? Lolo? What's her name? Lolo.
Lolo Jones? Still doing it?
No, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn, yeah.
She's downhill skiing.
She's downhill skiing. Yeah. Is she with Tiger Woods?
No, they broke up.
They broke up? Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods can't keep a woman, can
they? They seem like a really good relationship, though.
Oh, they
to me, it seemed like they were a good match for each other.
All right.
That's interesting. Matt,
she not rumored for anything like doping or nothing like that. All right.
No, she's not.
He is.
Yes, he is. Matt, in regards to figure skating, which is what you were talking about earlier, the men's single skating short program, the team event, the pair skating short program, I believe it either takes place, I think it says tomorrow, I think it's tomorrow night, but it could be tonight.
I keep seeing it being advertised for tonight.
So maybe it's tonight.
Yeah.
It says it starts at
I gotta get my South Korean clock.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. It says my time, which is my time. It says that it's gonna air at 8 o'clock, which, all right, that makes sense. That's cool. But I don't know if it's airing at 9 o'clock, like tomorrow or today.
I'm just hoping somewhere in this Winter Olympics, in this ice skating event, Margot Robbie appears as Tanya Harding.
That'd be cool.
That would be very cool.
That'd be cool. So there you go. That's your Olympic update for today. We're going to do this every day. Not necessarily at this time. We're going to do this every day. And again, the important thing is you go to DKMS.org. It's the Olympics. It's a world event. We're all competing together. But we're also trying to save each other's lives. And you go to DKMS.org. You donate your bone marrow. And you make sure that you are doing what you can. Swabbing your cheeks is the first step. It takes literally 1 minute. We did it on the air one day. You send it in, you join the donor list, and you know what? Who knows what can happen from there? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, save a life.
Absolutely. Save a life indeed. We are going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Virginia Zakis of Inside Injuries. Talk no Olympics, though, Corey. Just some baseball, some basketball, some football.
That's good. So
I'm going to save Odell for you.
Who's on the list today, this week?
You can open the sheet and find out.
Odell is on the list.
I know Kristaps Porzingis is on the list,
He
right?
made the list, yeah.
Odell made the list?
Yeah, because I saw him dancing in the commercial, and I wanted to know...
If he was okay?
If he was okay, yeah.
I told you I saw him.
Captain.
New Year's Eve, he had on a Fendi walking boot. I was like, oh my God. He does the most.
You know, he just wanted to make sure it was a trendy walking boot.
But where would you buy that from? Fendi. Probably had that made for him.
Probably so. Yep. All right, there's your limited coverage. We'll come back. Virginia Zagas, Inside Injuries, joins the program. And she talks to us coming up next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
FST, Fantasy Sports Today, Corey Parson, Matt Modica.
This is more Sussman Speed.
I like this song.
No, too. I know you like this song.
This is your jam right here?
She jams!
Please don't do that. This before your time, right?
Yes.
Well, you can't like music before his time. So is Werewolves from London.
Werewolves from London. Before my time.
That's before all our time, I think.
Might be. All right. Enough chit-chatting with you, both of you. Let's chat with someone that won an FSTA award this year for Best Data Provider. It's Inside Injuries. Dr. A's on vacation again.
Again?
Again.
Where the hell is Dr. A at this time?
He never shows
He's
up.
He's the Greg Sussman of doctors.
Dr. A
and I am here all the time.
Well, he's in Europe. He's all around.
Dr. A be in Europe more than he be in the United States.
It's true. So in his place, it's a good friend, Virginia Zagas. Virginia, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Happy to be here.
This isn't the first time meeting Virginia.
Yeah, this is your first time on our show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Want me to start?
All right. You thought whatever. I will begin because the biggest story out of New York, out in the country, out in the NBA, that's Kristaps Porzingis and his torn ACL in his left knee. For basketball players that tear their ACL, it's all over the map. From Jabari Parker doing it twice and, you know, missing a year or less with both. You've had players like Ricky Rubio come back in 9 months. Dante Exum come back in 14 months. What's the prognosis for Kristaps Porzingis?
Yep. So right now we're looking at probably around 9 to 12 months. If it's an isolated ACL tear, hopefully he's closer to that 9-month mark. If there's some other damage in his knee, it could be closer to 12. Don't really know yet for sure what else is going on there. He's going to be pushing it to be ready for the start of next season, but you know, hopefully he's ready to go by next November.
Well, there you go. So that's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Virginia, I
just think a big, tall dude like that is always going to have injury concerns. You know, even he's young, take games off already, but you know, we probably break that down a little bit deeper at some other time. I want to know what's up with my man, the big baller brand, Lonzo. We haven't seen Lonzo in a couple of weeks. And I know he needs to make an appearance at All-Star Weekend with the, you know, with the rest of the crew, the Ball family. Is Lonzo going to be ready for action anytime soon? What's the deal with Lonzo? Lonzo Ball, triple B.
Yeah, so we're showing that he's still probably a week and a half, 2 weeks away from being ready to go, recovering from this MCL sprain. But unfortunately, he's one of those guys, since before he was drafted, we've been saying he's had durability concerns. He's already had groin, calf, ankle issues this year. Then he had that left shoulder sprain. Now it's his knee. So even if he can come back from the MCL sprain in a couple weeks, there's still a lot going on with him. He's someone that could remain a high injury risk.
Lonzo Ball was too young to be beat up like that.
I know.
Yeah.
There you go. Matt.
Well, I'm going to switch it to baseball and a player that never went for surgery, did rehab, David Price this year. Is that a good thing that he didn't get the surgery? Is this something like a ticking clock on him?
Yeah, so David Price, they say he has a unique elbow because when his ligament stretches and starts to tear a little bit, it calcifies instead of completely tearing. So he has all these calcium deposits in and around his elbow ligaments. which is good because it's less likely that he suffers a complete tear, but it does lead to some mobility issues. Right now, our algorithm is showing that he's a low injury risk because, again, he's not likely to suffer that serious season-ending injury that needs surgery. But his health performance factor is below average, which is an indication that his unique elbow could prevent him from pitching like we saw, you know, before 2016-17 when he got hurt last spring training.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, my question is, this more of like a pain tolerance kind of thing for him? You know, how much he can throw before the elbow just hurts too much?
Yeah, it's a little bit pain tolerance, but also he's just not going to have the same flexibility in his elbow, which is going to affect his delivery and therefore his performance, unfortunately.
Well, when she says that, Matt, and not to go off from Virginia here, but when she says that, like, at some point he's just not going to have the flexibility in his elbow to pitch like we're used to seeing him, to be able to go through the same motion over and over and over again as pitchers do. To me, that scares the crap out of me from David Price.
No, I mean, look, it does scare you, but there's so many of these guys that don't even pitch 150 innings. It's kind of like that catch. I don't have any shares yet. Right. I kind of want to. But I don't know if I can pull the trigger. I'm kind of with you. I mean, yeah. Otani, they're saying, has an elbow injury already.
But he's got a bone spur in that elbow, I believe. But, like, David Price obviously had elbow issues last spring, comes back, has elbow issues again, then goes to the bullpen and pitched pretty well. But can he do it every 5 days? Can he pitch you 100 innings?
Well, 100 pitches. I think what Virginia said about it, it's going to affect his delivery. That's the thing. The
scariest part of it all.
Yeah, that's the scariest part. Once you start making alterations, like a hitter having to, you know, adjust, they lose power. If he's not going to be the same guy who was.
Well, let me follow that up with another pitcher that had Tommy John surgery, and that was Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi, a regular offseason, I believe, this past offseason. Do we expect him to be back to the 100% injury-wise? Because I know he can never throw the ball over the plate, but at least from an injury perspective. Is he good to go?
Yeah, right now we have him as a low injury risk. So far, everything's gone really well. He's about 18 months removed from surgery. He even made that one rehab appearance last September. So everything's looking good so far. Until he, you know, makes it through spring training and really proves he's good to go, we aren't going to be 100% confident, but so far, so good on him.
My turn.
It's your turn.
Virginia, I'm back. Odell Beckham, I saw a picture of him on New Year's. He had on a Fendi walking boot. I didn't know they made those. And then over the weekend, during the Super Bowl, he was at NFL Honors. He didn't have on no walking boot. He was walking regular. What's the latest update with Odell Beckham?
So I don't know if any. I'm sure y'all saw Odell Beckham and Eli Manning's Super Bowl commercial. We rewatched that a few different times. Looks like he's running. He's recovering. You know, pretty much on track following his surgery. We'll say he still looked a little bit flat-footed and wasn't quite pushing off of his left foot like we're used to seeing from him when he went for the big jump. But he's progressing as he should, could even participate in some of their off-season workouts.
Oh.
And as of right now, looks like he'll be ready to go for training camp next year.
Okay, that's interesting. So y'all watched the Super Bowl commercial over and over again and broke down where he was at in his injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, not quite like watching game film. You could tell, though, that he's making progress. There's no brace on his ankle. Our analytics are also showing he's about 12 weeks away from his optimal recovery time. So still, you know, 3 months away from
that's
being
cool
back.
Because you saw that he was running flat-footed and you saw that he wasn't able to push off really on that jump. That was good. That was a good breakdown in that commercial. That was good. That's good stuff.
Well, that's why I brought Odell up, because I'm sitting here watching that commercial, and he looks like he was running okay. 12 weeks optimal recovery time, that's another 3 months. That means by training camp in August, he's going to be fine.
I think I like Virginia better. She's more positive.
Dr. A is always very negative with us.
He's always bringing me down.
Always.
Dr. A go leave for 1 week, and y'all start talking trash about Dr. A.
It wasn't 1 week he left, Corey.
No, Dr. A is.
It's been quite a long time.
Where's he at this time, Virginia? No, I'm done. No,
he's in London.
Oh, he's in London. He really is in London.
Okay.
I think yesterday, when I was talking to the players with him, he said he was sitting looking out on the beach. So,
so he's not in London.
Yeah, I don't think...
It must be nice.
I do want to go back to baseball. This is a player that I'm actually really excited about. My concern is with the leg and if that did fully heal. And it's Dustin Fowler, who has a chance to be the Oakland A's everyday center fielder. I think he's got a really nice upside. What can you tell us about that leg?
Yeah, so last year he suffered that ruptured patellar tendon in his debut, a really unlucky injury. Typically, we say the recovery time for that is around 9 months. He's done well so far. He supposedly should be at full strength for spring training. The concern here is this is a tough, long recovery and rehab, and it really affects a player's speed and explosiveness long term. Those are two of his strengths, and as a center fielder, he might still be slowed down a little bit this year, but he should be healthy enough to play and be a contributor for the A's.
You know, it's really interesting because I was talking to the guys downstairs about Dustin Fowler, and they see him as a very cheap source of power and speed that in an everyday role for Oakland could absolutely be fantasy viable.
Yeah, no, he's a guy in the drafted holds I've been doing. I've been trying to get – he's been consistently moving up since I did my first one around Thanksgiving. And like I said, he has that ability to possibly, you know, this is the upside of him, the 90 percentile or so, be a 20-20 player.
All right, there you go. Corey, one final player for you, Virginia. It's a guy that Corey's been hot on when it comes to baseball, and that's Irvin Santana. And Irvin Santana,
again,
out of nowhere, he's out for 10 to 12 weeks.
I think the other... Can she do two segments?
You want her, Virginia, can you hang out with us for a little while longer?
Sure.
There you go.
I want to ask about Andrew Luck, too. Okay. That's important.
I understand.
Yeah. Well, and she didn't look like she was doing anything but chilling in the crib.
All right.
I mean, not to say that she did. Virginia, I don't know. I mean, if she... No, I didn't say it like, don't do that, Matt. I just wanted... She looked like she was chilling, so why not have a, you know, chill, do another
sure,
segment with
yeah,
it, and
yeah,
then
yeah.
We can kill another segment, too.
we have a lot of stuff on the schedule.
I might take some of this stuff and put it into the 11 o'clock hour, though.
You can't do that. I need that for the 12 o'clock hour, which you're not going to be here for.
All right.
So thank you very, very much. Virginia, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'll tell you, the preview was that Irvin Santana, who Corey had talked about as a sleeper pitcher he really, really liked, out of nowhere, Rick's a couple of days ago, that he's going to be out for 10 to 12 weeks following a surgery. But I hear that and I'm like, wait a minute, he gets healthy in 10 to 12 weeks, then he has to go through basically an entire spring training and an entire rehab assignment. This dude's not coming back before the All-Star break, which is a massive blow to the Minnesota Twins, a massive blow to fantasy owners that have drafted early and have tried to rely on Irvin Santana. So a lot of question marks.
Twins have made a formal offer to you, Darvish.
And that was the obvious next step that was coming. We'll hear if my proclamations on Irvin Santana are correct when Virginia Zagas of Inside Injury continues on with us here on Fantasy Sports Today.
ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermal filtration system. You simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon. Call ThermoSpas today at 800-603-6422 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-603-6422. Call 800-603-6422 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
With you, FST Fantasy Sports Today. Remember that if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Before the break, I gave you my thoughts on Irvin Santana, where I think he was with the injury. Virginia,
I forgot Virginia was still here.
You invited her.
I know, I'm sorry.
What does inside injuries have to say about Irvin Santana?
So there's some good news and bad news here. He started having issues with his middle finger last year. At the end of the season, he got an injection and had a fairly normal off season. And then he started to experience some more discomfort when he was ramping up his bullpen sessions. They decided to undergo surgery. It was a capsular release and debridement procedure. Good news is it doesn't sound like there's any ligament or tendon damage, which could move his optimal recovery time from somewhere from 24 to 30 weeks. Right now, the 10 to 12 weeks to return to the rotation does sound realistic. He probably won't be back at 100% or a low injury risk if he returns in 10 to 12 weeks, but he should be healthy enough to pitch and join the rotation by then.
Okay, so that's a lot more positive than I expected, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is.
Very interesting. Okay, cool.
Okay, Virginia, let's go with... So, Josh McDaniels turned his back on the Indianapolis Colts, which probably was a good thing for the Indianapolis Colts. They didn't want a guy like that coaching there and running their franchise anyway. And then, people were speculating that, okay, well, he didn't take that job because they think Andrew Luck is probably, like, going to need another surgery or might be beat up or close to retirement or whatever the case may be. What is the Inside Injuries app? What is the algorithm telling us about Andrew Luck? Can you give us the latest on Mr. Luck?
Yep. We could talk all day about Andrew Luck. Of course, he had that labrum surgery about a year ago. Now it's his biceps tendon that they think is potentially an issue. The two are related because they both connect to each other in the shoulder. So it's possible he's actually had an issue with his biceps tendon since he tore his labrum back in 2015. It's also possible it's a new injury from when he started to throw back in October and then was shut down. Right now, we're looking at about 3 months left in his recovery. Until he hits that three-month mark, we're really not going to be confident in whether or not he needs another surgery.
So you would say that right now, you don't think he needs another surgery?
At this moment, no, but until he starts to really ramp up his throwing, we're really not going to know. And it's not going to be like he throws for a couple weeks and he's good, and then we believe that he's going to be okay and ready for the season. We're going to have to really see him make it through months of throwing and ramping up his workouts before we can be remotely confident that he's going to be ready to go for the season.
If he was to need another surgery sometime over the summer, would that cost him another season?
It definitely could. He's looking at probably at least 28 weeks of recovery from when he has surgery if he does need another one. And because he's already had so many issues, that time could be even longer for him. So missing the 2018 season would be realistic.
If he doesn't need another surgery, is it possible that he can get back to being the Andrew Luck that he was, or will he be a lesser version of that than what we've seen in the past?
I think he can be. It might not be until later in the 2018 season. I don't think he's going to come out week one and, you know, be firing passes and be the Andrew Luck we were used to seeing when he was younger. But within a year or two, it's definitely possible.
All right, so there you go. Okay, so there's an update on Andrew Luck that maybe not right away he becomes Andrew Luck again, and maybe there's a little bit of pause next summer when we get into this. Probably a lot of pause.
But there's also a risk of possibly a bicep injury.
100%.
Yeah.
A lot more risk than worth the reward, it sounds like, from Virginia.
I'm staying away.
NBA trade deadline day is today, Virginia. We'll be following all day long here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and certainly two teams that are looking to do things, Denver, Detroit. They're trying to they kind of control everything. And I'll start with Detroit here, because Blake Griffin, that was a big splash last week, and they are pushing to make the playoffs. They have not lost the game since Blake Griffin arrived in Detroit, and at some point they're going to get back Reggie Jackson. How soon is that sometime going to be?
Our algorithm is still showing that he's 4 weeks away from being healthy enough to play. We originally gave him a 10-week optimal recovery time because this is a grade 3 sprain, which is pretty significant. As far as we know, he still hasn't been cleared for basketball activities, still remains a high injury risk. His health performance factor is poor, so if he stepped on the court today, he would not be a major contributor. And he could remain a high injury risk for the rest of the season. These ankle ligament injuries are pretty tough to overcome, and they definitely linger.
All right, so there's not much confidence even when Reggie Jackson comes back.
Nope.
Which leaves us with Paul Millsap. As I said, Denver kind of holds the cards today when it comes to free agency. We've heard them linked to someone like Tyreek Evans, Emmanuel Mudiay potentially on the block. Denver also pushing to make the playoffs. We spoke about them and how good of a job Mike Malone has done with the Nuggets here this year. With all that being said, one of the reasons they may be getting rid of some of these players, certainly Kenneth Freed comes to mind as well, is because at some point they're getting Paul Millsap back. Again, what does at some point mean?
Yeah, so originally when he tore that ligament in his left wrist, we gave him a 14-week optimal recovery time. Right now, he's about 4 weeks away from hitting that mark. And the team is saying a return in mid-March is realistic, which is right in line with what we're saying. So he should be healthy enough to return in about 4 weeks. He's been ramping up his workouts and conditioning, and so far it sounds like he's going to be ready to go in about a month.
So there you go. You're going to get Paul Millsap back in about a month to play, and he says that's exactly what Inside Injury says, that's what the Nuggets say. So they're doing a good job. So as they go for this playoff push, they're going to have Paul Millsap back, and as you do your fantasy playoff push, you're going to have Paul Millsap back, which is very, very good news. Virginia, thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thank y'all.
You did good. You did good.
It's been great. There you go.
Take care, Virginia.
You did Virginia good, Zach, Virginia. It's insideinjuries.com. You're more than welcome to join us anytime.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. There you go. All right. So there you go, Corey. There's your update, and pretty good.
So I'm satisfied with that. Andrew Luck situation is still fluid, it sounds like. Looks like Odell be ready to go.
Odell was encouraging.
Yeah, it was encouraging.
You know what's kind of crazy, by the way? The Josh McDaniels situation, who Indianapolis has reached out to. Like Frank, the names that we have seen them reach out to.
Frank Reich.
We like this team.
Yes, we do.
Dan Campbell, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And your boy Leslie Frazier.
Yeah, because Leslie Frazier can be. They say in a time like this, dude like Leslie Frazier can come in and be like a calming influence.
Why not bring back Jim Caldwell then?
I agree. That's literally that's the first thing that crossed my mind. Why not just go get Jim
Caldwell?
I think
he's a better coach than Leslie.
I agree.
Leslie
with
Frazier is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
He's a defensive coordinator. Excuse me.
You know who?
I don't know why Reich is not getting interviewed till Friday. It seems odd because today's
the parade.
Today's the parade.
Yeah.
Today's the parade.
That's parade is today.
But I thought they said for. Filippo is getting interviewed.
Is that today?
At Minnesota.
Filippo, yeah.
So Filippo.
I'm saying it's kind of like odd. Like, because it puts DeFilippo in a weird position. Like,
definitely.
Say they gave it to Reich.
Right.
They give him the job. Maybe he wants to stay in.
Well, the other difference is DeFilippo and Reich, neither of them call plays. So they may want to, certainly Reich for a head coaching position, but DeFilippo may want to go somewhere where he can call the plays.
That's true.
If he goes to Minnesota, the offense is his, because Mike Zimmer's obviously a defensive
That's
guy.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So that could be what it was there. I don't know the reason for the scheduling. It looks like, I'm not sure what Leslie Frazier will interview. We do a Dan Campbell's interview is scheduled for today in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Dan Campbell, that's one of Sean Payton boys.
I mean, shout out to the Eagle fans. You know, fly, Eagle, fly for them. I turned the TV on this morning. They were out there. They've been out there since last night getting ready for this parade.
Philadelphia like a good party.
They were they're going to have the Super Bowl from like 8 to 11 being broadcast, and they're going to have their parade route.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to watch the game again? Oh, my God. deal with this.
I walked in. Guy was downstairs. He was at the parade in Philadelphia.
Julio? Yeah, no.
Guy.
I gave him some stuff.
Yeah, what did his name become Julio?
Julio is Julio.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's named Julio.
Yeah. It's a different dude.
It's a different
Julio,
guy.
Isn't Julio the guy that came for me?
No, that's Guy.
That's Guy.
That's Guy. Well, didn't they call him Julio the other day?
No, that's
you
Julio.
You even said to me, I didn't think his name was Julio.
Yeah.
There's two guys. One guy's Guy, the other guy's Julio.
Okay, I gotta figure this out today.
Okay. Julio is the dude that's like in the suit with the white guy with the beard.
Okay.
That's so Julio.
The white guy, so the security guy is Julio.
Yes.
Oh, the dude that was profiling me when I first started last year.
Right. Yeah. Now he's very nice.
Now he's very nice.
It took him like 4 months to say hello back.
Yes, yeah. That's Julio.
I would say good morning. That's what it is. I'd be like,
correct.
Good morning.
Correct.
That's Julio. And then other homie is Guy, the Eagle fan.
Who was on the Road to Experts podcast.
Yeah, who came upstairs with us the other day.
Yeah.
She was kicking it with us.
That's Guy. And his brother's name is Bro.
No, it's not.
I wasn't touching that one.
That's not sure. His brother's name was just like, what was it? Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what his son's brother name was.
We talked to him.
I don't remember what his brother name
I'm glad
was.
You listen.
But I was like, dude, why are you at the parade? What are you doing here?
He was like, he said he had off from work the last couple of days. He's gone out celebrating and drinking and stuff, but he wasn't able to make it to the parade tonight.
Well, he had to make sure he get his job done. They show them parades on TV nowadays too. Yeah, so you might be able to watch it. Yeah, I don't really see me ever being a part of a championship parade.
None of your teams are gonna win.
Who would like celebrate it? Like, I'm not gonna go to Irvin to celebrate the Cowboy Parade.
Right.
It's not, you know.
A big cowboy hat on.
No, it's not going to happen. And then the Yankees win all the time, so there's no reason to go down there.
They've won 9 years
before a ticker tape parade for the Yankees.
It's been 9 years.
And then I'm not going to go to Oakland for a Warrior parade.
True. Will you go to Quebec for a Nordiques parade?
Nope.
Okay.
And the Knicks never going to have a parade.
No, well, you're not a Knicks fan. That's good.
Yeah, I was a Knicks fan in the 90s.
True. We'll take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one. Come up next.
There's been no shortage of many legendary father-son teams in NASCAR. The Earnhardts, the Jarretts, the Petties, and now the Angles. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour continues the long-standing tradition of family and NASCAR racing. It features Hall of Famer Scott Angle and his son, five-time DraftKings tournament winner Sean Angle. They help you set the ideal DraftKings lineups with in-depth analysis and driver breakdowns. The Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour, Saturdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Greg, don't do that. Please, Greg. Mr. Sussman.
Yo.
It's recess. Is it recess? Jump is recess?
Teacher's lounge.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is the teacher's lounge. This is what goes on in the teacher's lounge.
Inside look.
That's what it feels like.
Glad to be here, Mr. Sussman.
Thanks, man. I'm happy to have you here.
Virginia was good.
Virginia was great, man.
She was good. She knows.
Positive, too.
Yeah, I like Virginia. So they got the whole team over there at Inside Injuries, got their information down.
Virginia, we got Virginia.
No wonder Dr. A takes so many vacations.
You got a great staff. Mm-hmm. You got a great staff.
And where's Tracy at this week?
I don't know where Tracy is. Or girl
probably,
Tracy Hankin.
Probably none of my business.
Probably not.
Probably.
In fact, I will eventually say it's definitely not any of your business. Uh-huh. Yeah. I wanted to take these 5 minutes here and ask you about Russell Wilson getting traded.
To the Yankees. That's like a PR thing. He'll make a couple of spring training appearances, you know, sell some tickets at spring training games. It's the ultimate troll move to the Mets. The Mets went and got Tim Tebow. The Yankees went and got Russell Wilson.
That's what it really was, if you want to be plain and simple.
So. Love it.
We even got a better quarterback than you.
Russell Wilson, it was his dream to always play for the Yankees. He promised his dad one day he would. His dad passed away many years ago. Derek Jeter was his favorite athlete growing up, so he wanted to play for the Yankees.
Act like Derek Jeter.
And he went to the Rangers and was like, hey, not that he couldn't just show up at Yankees camp, but he's like, hey, trade me to the Yankees. And they did for future considerations, which is nothing.
$1.50.
Probably some cash a little bit down the road. It was like, remember you made that money when you had Russell Wilson?
Give me some.
What if like the NFL go to a lockout though? Then Russell Wilson might have a chance to play baseball.
That's true. And the NFL probably is heading toward a lockout. So that makes sense.
But that's,
for a
strike. We're still looking, what, 3 years away?
Yeah. They're definitely going to be.
Going to be a strike for sure.
There's definitely going to be a strike 3 years from now.
Yeah, DeMaurice Smith is not going to put up anything.
Nah, you got it. Somebody got to get Roger Goodell. Somebody got to bring Roger Goodell.
I'm not as pessimistic as you guys. First of all, it's 3 years away. Number one. Number two, if the owners are willing to give some concessions, you have to see this is too much money involved to automatically say that they're going to shut this thing down. And
but the players really took a loss on that last CBA.
Maybe they should have replaced the guy. That's what I think.
DeMaurice? Maybe they should have, but, you know, and the owners.
My thing is, why are you going back in with the guy that you had this terrible deal with?
The owners going.
Well, yeah, and, I didn't get that either.
And then the owners, as soon as this deal is done, the owners are going to flip on Goodell. Really, he's only there to get them through this negotiation, this upcoming CBA. So I think that Goodell, listen, the franchise tag, guaranteed money, all of those things are going to be on the table. When you got a mid-level NBA players like Zaza Pachulia have the same. Yeah. Zaza Pachulia and Devontae Freeman have the same contract.
Crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah, no, it's look, pathetic. I'm not. Look,
it's, Zaza Pachulia can't move.
It's a poor job by the negotiating
Absolutely.
Team, what they settled for. So I'm just shocked. Like, I would maybe want to upgrade and go in. I don't know. If I lost that bad, it's like a team.
Yeah. You got to move on. Maybe DeMaurice Smith is the problem. But you got to think, some of these union dudes, they in bed with the league too, though. You know what I'm saying?
The one thing I want to say about Goodell, Goodell has one job. He is supposed to be like, he's supposed to be the hitman. He takes all the hits for all the owners. And that's why he gets paid all this big money. Mm-hmm. He's not supposed to be liked by players and by the media. He is supposed to be. He is the villain for them.
Yeah, he's
like, Goodell, you go out there, you take it, you take the hits, so they can look better.
He's the mouthpiece for the owners.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have paid him $50 million, so.
Makes sense to me. Okay. With that being said, we'll see if we get the, we'll see if this strike ever happens. No, I said.
Well,
I said last time.
Detrimental to our business.
It isn't. Yeah, I said last time it wouldn't happen because there was so much money. But the NFL, the Players Association, just signed the worst deal I've ever seen.
It's all about how much concessions the owners do. Owners are going to give something back.
They have no choice.
The players are going to have to give something back too, particularly their freedoms on the sideline.
Let's talk some baseball when we come back. We have basketball to come. I want to do some baseball next. Tell me something I don't know about a couple of guys, Matt Modica. I'm excited for this next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two! Oh, the Runaway! No, this isn't the Runaway, but it's coming up later on. On Fantasy Sports Today! Is live on Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman.
Can I read a tweet from former Denver Bronco Nate Jackson?
I read this tweet earlier, actually. But yes, you may.
For context, Josh McDaniels was hired by the Denver Broncos in 2009. I was on the roster and home for the offseason. My parents' landline got a voicemail from the Broncos saying that I had been cut. I called McDaniels for an explanation. His assistant said he'd call me back. He is still waiting to hear back from Josh McDaniels.
Kind of sounds like Derek Jeter. He don't call people, though.
No, Derek.
He has other people do it for him.
So there you go. That's your boy, Josh McDaniels. Not coming off great.
So far, he's in a bad spot right now. He's a dude that, well, then again, he was a lot of people on the air and mainstream media yesterday that was sticking up for the dude. So I'm like, you know what, whatever. It is what it is. Not my money.
Matt, what do you think about Jake Arrieta not expected to return to Chicago? Hell, he's not even talking to them, which is scaring teams off. Like, wait a minute. Chicago doesn't want you. They probably know something about you that we don't know.
I think that what's happening, I don't think he was ever going back to Chicago. They did not want to sign him for the long-term deal. If you look at his profile, things have been trending down. I know the ERA in that second half was really good, but everything else was really bad. If you really do a deep dive, an ERA should not be your leading indicator. I think we've progressed that far in whether it's real baseball, fantasy baseball, however you're going to, you know, look at the metrics for it. I think his fallback is if the Twins are kind of desperate now, and if a guy like Darvish, which I think he wants to be a Cub, he really wants to be a Dodger, but, you know, I think the Cubs would have a better shot at getting him. So, Arrieta is going to be the runner-up, the prize.
To Yu Darvish.
Yeah,
to
Yu Darvish.
All right.
I would like to see Arrieta. I think the best case for Arrieta would be the Los Angeles Angels, but I don't think they're going to pay the money.
You've been saying that for a while.
I just that ballpark just will play.
I've said this before. I think it's clear Darvish is just waiting for the Yankees Dodgers at this point. And that's it. And
I think he really wants to be. The Dodgers just make too much sense. And I ain't buying any of that two games in the World Series. Different ball, although he was excellent, you know, whatever, a handful, seven games leading up to that. And he says, I think he's still 31 years old. You really don't like giving anybody 31 these long-term deals, but he's going to get it. He's going to get a nice deal. I think a lot of these guys you're going to see start signing. I think Darvish needs to go sign, and once J.D. Martinez signs, everybody else will fall in line.
I agree with that. Hey, I was checking out LeBron's buzzer beater again last night, where, you know, Christian Laettner playing. I read you all the stats before of how crazy that moment was as the Cavs defeated Timberwolves at home. Do you miss LeBron wearing a headband? Do you miss headband LeBron?
No, I haven't seen headband LeBron in a while.
Yeah, I was saying, ask if you missed it.
No, I don't miss headband LeBron. This LeBron is fine.
Okay.
This LeBron is fine.
LeBron doesn't have as many many characters as like Scott.
No, you got woke LeBron. You got
headband LeBron.
You got headband LeBron. You got GM LeBron.
Coach LeBron.
You got Coach LeBron.
You're right. He's got more than Scott.
You got. I don't like this team. It's your fault, LeBron.
Yeah.
Whiny LeBron. Championship
he's no
LeBron.
Olympic LeBron.
Olympic LeBron.
A lot of LeBrons. No one we talk about next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
FST Fantasy Sports Today.
Emery's mad at me.
I bet he is. Emery Hunt will be on the program FSTOC, which he didn't know.
The change in times threw me off.
Sorry?
Then I was watching that game last night and other things I was doing, texting, you know.
What were those other things you were doing?
Not important.
Just wondering if you wanted to share it with our listeners.
Man, son. No, we don't need to share that. I was putting together the rundown. That's what
I'm sure
doing.
You were. I'm sure anybody watching or listening thinks that.
I was working on the show.
Yes. What's planned for the show?
Prepping for the Olympics.
Well, today what we got coming up on the program today when we get to the OT, Emery will come on and we'll talk about running backs not named Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
So we'll get, and then I don't want to, so we don't need to talk about Nick Chubb or Sonny Michel either because we talked about those dudes a lot.
Yeah.
We'll do Rotation Nation. We'll look at the Baltimore Orioles rotation. You know what I mean? Look at their pitchers, let you know what's up with that. What else we got to do today? We'll do some ADP deaths, and then today's profile in Black History is Daryl Dawkins.
Okay, Dawkins.
Hopefully he
Chocolate
doesn't.
Thunder.
Hopefully he doesn't get ejected from the game the day after the day that he gets. Well, he's not playing in no game, and we did Draymond Green the other day, and he gets thrown out. He's going to be in trouble too, Draymond Green, because they did he cursed at that referee. He used a slur that you shouldn't use to a female. So I think he's going to get a suspension.
Probably will. He's also nearing that technical suspension too, right?
I think he did hit the technical suspension already.
So he double suspended, you're saying.
So I think he's going to get. I think he's got one more till he gets to the technical suspension, and then that thing when he said to that lady referee, mm-hmm. he's going to get a 2 or 3 game suspension for that.
All right. So if you get 16,
I think he has 14 technical fouls right now.
Fouls 2017, 2018, currently. The leader in technical fouls in the NBA thus far is Draymond Green, who has 13, it says.
13 technical fouls right now.
Three more to go.
So, listen, I do believe that at some point in the Western Conference playoffs, they're going to become a victim of their inability to gather themselves when it comes to dealing with the referees. So, you can't blame the refs. I think the refs are going to maybe gunning for them a little bit, too, because all of them, Durant complained to the refs, Green complained to the refs. Curry complained to the refs. Even Steve Kerr complained to the refs. They got to do a better job than that.
I agree. I think it's, you know what, you got the best team in the league. You're not going to get every call. And if you don't get a call, you can't just lose it.
By the way, I just read this stat on Twitter. LeBron James finished the month of January with a plus minus of minus 99.
That's the worst in the NBA.
Lowest of his career. His previous low for a single month was minus 42.
Was
years
that from
ago.
Skip? Did Skip Drew say
that? No, that was Justin Kubatko. Basketball reference.
Skip will be
now. What is this plus minus? Explain that.
I assume you're just on the court. You know what you're on the court for.
Mm-hmm. Like in hockey, it's when you're on the ice and right. How many goals
are scored positive for you or negatively.
It's negative. Like if you're a defenseman, yeah.
Then he's on the court. Then he's on the court too much.
No, it's just the Cavs got blown out throughout January.
But then he was on the court too much, though. Yeah, they were getting blown out, and he was on the court too much. He plays the most minutes.
Of course, he does.
I did enjoy.
He's too old for that.
I did enjoy in that Suns game tonight. They were like, they took a timeout when the Suns went on a 2-0 run.
That's actually really funny. Last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers beat Minnesota in overtime at the Q, 140-138. LeBron, the layup to get into overtime, the game winning jumper as time expired. He also hit the blocked Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it was a big time game with LeBron James, who had a triple double, 37 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, now LBJ got it done last night, put up those numbers, and he hits that game winner on JB, Jimmy Butler, maybe the best defender in the league.
JR 20, Isaiah Thomas had 13 and 7, Jay Crowder with 10. For the T-Wolves, 30 and 10 from Karl Anthony Towns, who went 6 of 6 from behind the arc.
Yeah, that's crazy that Karl Anthony Towns is 6 for 6 for 3. That's today's NBA, though.
Jimmy Buckets had 35, 6 and 5. 19 points for Andrew Wiggins. 14 points, 15 assists for Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague's getting it done, too.
Phoenix lost by almost 40.
Again?
Yeah.
Who they lose to last night?
Oh, more than 40.
Yeah, it's like 43.
Oh, my God.
But they don't have nobody on. Phoenix, that team is trash.
48. That was my 48
they lost
points.
By 50 points.
That was my 50.
To why they were on?
The Spurs.
I don't care if they're playing the Spurs. The
Olympics. Olympians.
We are the world, you know, whatever. Yes. They should not be a televised game.
They lost by 50 points.
To the Spurs. Go through their starters. The Suns starters.
All right, so last night Tyler Ulis started, then he got hurt.
All right.
Isaiah Cannon's hurt. Devin Booker's hurt. They're down to their fourth string point guard.
All right, who was that dude?
So he was just called up from the G League. That was Josh Gray.
Yeah.
Josh Gray
shouldn't be in the NBA.
Their starting shooting guard on the evening was TJ Warren. Small forward was Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson can play.
13-6. Power forward was Marquise Chris with 10 rebounds, 7 points, and then Dragan Bender.
Yeah, that's
the Dragon.
That's a G League roster.
For the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge played less than 30 minutes, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists.
Did anybody play more than 30 minutes for the Spurs?
No.
There's no reason to.
It was never in doubt.
This one was never in doubt. The score after the first quarter was 28-9.
They got to do better than that.
You got to do better than that.
They might need to secede.
They might have to secede. This is crazy. That's terrible.
I would actually love to hit Phoenix Radio after what I heard in November while I was
What did you think of the New Orleans, Indianapolis, or Indiana getting rained out indoors?
I don't understand how that happened. Did they have a problem with the leaky roof?
That's right. It got delayed following a leak in the roof. Roof caused a huge puddle near the foul line.
Now was that for as far as DFS purposes?
Crushed
dudes playing in DFS last night.
It was like the broken pipe in Colorado.
Exactly, same thing.
So wait a minute. This happened. This game wasn't called off before lineup lock.
No sir.
Wow.
The worst. It's the worst.
Nothing you can do about that either.
No, sir. Houston defeated Miami 109-101. The Rockets were led by 41 from James Harden. 6 assists, 3 steals, 4 rebounds, and a block. CP3 had 24, 7, and 7.
That was my lock of the night.
The Rockets were. The Heat were.
The Heat were my lock of the night. That's 3 nights in a row my lock of the night has not hit. Sorry.
The fantasy mailman has been going against us.
Brad Cafferty's making some money.
Good for him. So what was that final score? 109-108?
109-101. If it was
109-108,
you had five. That was more than five.
I had the Heat.
Yeah.
And James Harden scored 41 last night?
Yeah.
That's on a back-to-back, too.
The Heat had 3 double-digit scorers total. First was Hassan Whiteside, who had 16 points and 17 rebounds, finally getting over 30 minutes last night, 33 total. Only been playing like 23, 24 minutes. 30 points from the Dragon, Goran Dragic, while 30 points also from Josh Richardson. Nobody else had more than 9. That's how you win.
Nah, they need a little bit more balance on their offense. Basically, run through those three players. But that's the Heat'll be all right. They're a decent Eastern Conference team.
As I said before, the Detroit Pistons continue their winning streak, beating Brooklyn 115-106, getting back over 500. The Pistons were led by Blake Griffin's 25-7. Andre Drummond had 17 points. And wait for Corey, the high this season in the NBA, 27 rebounds.
Yeah, that's a big number of boards right there for Andre Drummond, 27 rebounds. That's crazy.
Monstrous. 15-6 with 4 assists for Ish Smith. Stanley Johnson in 19, while Reggie Bullock had 9. For Brooklyn, the man Spencer Dinwiddie at 12-11 for the double-double. Alan Crabb at 34. Joe Harris, 18-6-6, 4-8 from behind the arc. While Damari Carroll had a double-double, 14-12. Actually, nice game for the Mets starters, if you threw him out there. While if you started guys on the bench, D'Angelo Russell, played 17 minutes, had 4 points.
I don't understand why they don't play D'Angelo Russell.
And Jahlil, because he's not good. Jahlil Okafor only played 9 minutes and had 2 points.
I'm surprised Jahlil Okafor is in the NBA.
Yeah.
How old is Jahlil Okafor?
Very young still.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm getting mixed up with somebody else. My bad.
Okafor is 22 years old.
Yeah, goodness. And he's been... Wow.
It's a young man's game.
When was he drafted?
He was drafted in the Porzingis draft.
Yeah, what pick?
Three.
He was the third pick of that draft.
Three. How about this? The second and third pick of the draft both traded already. Crazy, right?
That was not a good draft.
No. Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, you got KP out of it. Somebody else was in that draft, too.
Yeah, correct. The as I go back, the number one pick was Karl Anthony Towns, was it not?
Yeah, Cat. No, he can play.
Karl Anthony Towns. You have Porzingis. Miles Turner's in that draft. Devin Booker's in that draft.
I like Devin Booker.
Yeah, Devin Booker's awesome. Yeah, you got some players in this draft, man. Yeah. You got some players in this draft. Okay, one last game to talk about from last night. That's the Jazz and the Grizzlies. The Jazz beat Memphis 92-88, led by Ricky Rubio. 29-8 for Ricky Rubio. 18 points off the bench for Rodney Hood, the only two players to score double digits for a Utah team that won. Crazy. Memphis had 23 points from Andrew Harrison, who we told you to pick up. 20 points from Marc Gasol, 26-5. Dylan Brooks at 11, as did J. Michael Green.
Yeah, the Grizzlies suck.
Rodney Hood's on fire.
Yes, he is. We'll take a break. We're going to DFS and the Lock of the Night coming up in a little bit. But I do want to talk some baseball with Matt Modica when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're going to get into the DFS. Corey's Lock of the Night, probably called Unlock of the Night, presented by DailyRoto.com. You can't really speak if your microphone's not on.
I'm sorry, Greg. listen, let's not get carried away. I just had a couple bad nights with my Lock of the Night.
Mm-hmm. That means it's not really a great lock.
The lock has been picked.
I'm going to rebound tonight.
All right, also, why don't you use this time to...
I'm going to use this time. Yes, I'll use this time to... take care of some personal business.
Personal, you couldn't just do research. You just talk to Snapchat instead of like looking for
Snap. You see how Snap changed?
I haven't because I'm working.
Oh well, it happened last night. You wasn't working last night.
I was preparing for the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Well, I'm preparing for my Lock of the Night.
Yesterday, Matt Modica, we were talking a lot about. Rened Odor, for instance, and we talked about how brutal he was against lefties last season. We did that on the BFFs yesterday. But there's one guy that was worse against lefties, and over the last 2 years, it's been pitiful. And that's Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb was a fantasy darling coming into 2017, and the line, when you look at it on the seasonal stat line, was basically the same as you got in 2016. You know what you're going to get with Jake Lamb, which I like to say in fantasy, in all sports, it's half the battle. If you know what you're going to get, you understand where you can draft him, and you understand how you can build around that. But. Is Jake Lamb in 2018 good enough for your fantasy team?
You know what? The thing I don't like is I don't like guys that aren't, you know, possibility of going to sit down versus left-handers, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He's the worst in that.
The very worst in all of baseball.
Yeah, you don't want to be.
See it on your screen right now.
Yeah, that's very nice. Shout out to Chris Ventura.
That's a nice board by Chris Ventura.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's not a good thing. And the other thing is 30 home runs and what, maybe the upside's 260 in the batting average. I don't think he's really going to ever be a guy that's going to hit for average. I don't think it's going to turn and, you know, there's better things to come here as far
Correct.
As average goes. So, I mean, it depends. If I needed that pop, but I don't see. I want to see where he. I know, like, Seager's going. Nobody really likes Corey Seager anymore. They've kind of moved on. And
oh, is it no one likes Corey Seager anymore?
No, not Corey. I'm sorry, Kyle.
I'm glad you brought Kyle up because he's the next guy I wanted to talk about.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. I think they're going next to each other, so
they're going close, which is why I kind of have them paired.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I'd rather have Kyle Seager. So, Kyle Seager is on a team that I kind of like offensively.
Absolutely.
I think they got some really nice pieces there.
Look at that, what Chris Ventura did. How about that?
Shout out to Bensonhurst.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you what. Chris Ventura's having the best week he's had here.
He's got to shave that thing.
Whatever's on his face. I agree with
he
that.
He has something on his face.
But the thing with... Yeah.
he shaves in quadrants, he said.
Oh, he got... Oh, he's
shaving his beard, but going like piece by piece.
Every day.
Hey, whatever. It's working. He's putting up those good graphics, so keep it up.
Fantastic graphics. By the way, so Jake Lamb and Kyle Seager are going very close to each other. And I'm trying to understand why Kyle Seager and what people are off on him. Because you're right, Matt. People aren't nearly as excited about Kyle Seager as they once were. I don't get why.
Because, look, now everybody wants some sort of speed or he's gotten older. But Kyle Seager was like one or two in fly ball percentage, which, you know, which you want. Right.
Definitely.
He's got a great lineup around him. So if he's going to be hitting fly balls, I think he's kind of like a 30 home run hitter. So I know I'm going to get that. I know he's going to play the games. You added D. Gordon into the top of that lineup. Now you got Segura, Gordon. You know, maybe he's batting fifth. Is he behind Nelson Cruz? You know, there's a lot, you know, RBI production to be had here with Kyle Seager. I mean, the Mariners pitching staff is a whole other issue. We got to get into that at some point. But offensively, this team, I really like. They even added Ryan Healy on this team. So I think there's a lot of... And Mitch Haniger.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm just running off these names and the more and more. I just really like the lineup. Not the pitching staff, not so much.
But. Agreed. But for our purposes, why are... You'd rather have Kyle Seager, you said.
Yes.
Gonna play every day. You don't have to worry about a platoon situation coming. Where are these guys going in drafts right now?
In NFBC, Jake Lamb's 120, Kyle Seager's 130. There's a 10-point difference there. And right with them is, I know Stanford loves him. I've taken him in some of my draft champions
Rafael
as
Devers.
Well. Is Devers. And I think Devers is going to be, say Devers might hit 20 home runs, but he has the better batting average of the three.
Okay.
So you're going to get the average there with him. For me, Lamb is... Seager's not a 300 hitter, so I think he's a better... I think the better options in batting average for Seager, I love the Arizona's ballpark. So it's... I mean, it's a tough day, but you know... You know, you gotta look at the good and the bad. He's not gonna play against lefties. He's just that bad.
Is he not going to play?
Definitely gonna get at bats. He's gonna get sitting down. Any good left-hander that comes to town,
Clayton Kershaw.
Why would you play him? Right. Why, I mean, why would you put him in your lineup? They have enough guys that they can move around.
Sure.
This is a team that is not lacking depth.
So for you, you're going Devers, Seager, Lamb. Three to third baseman that gotta go close to each other. Is that your order for these three guys?
Yeah, I do like Devers. I mean, this kid was ready before the Red Sox called him up last season. I mean, it depends. If there's like a Byron Buxton on my team or some more riskier, one or two riskier.
You go with Seager.
I might just go with Seager. Just because I know I'm going to get that, you know, possibly 270, 30 home runs. And look, if he keeps it with this team, maybe he can hit 30-plus. But I think the 30 home runs is real for him.
30 career was a career high back in 2016. Last year, as you see on your screen, he had 27. The average was actually a career low last year at 249, with the BABIP also a career low at 262, probably directly related there.
The thing what I do want to talk about BABIP is how, you know, you got to look at his career. Mm-hmm. I think you really got to do that. Or in the last couple of years, if they're veterans, you know, maybe something changed. But he hits so many fly balls that he's not going to have a tremendously high BABIP, but I think he's better than a 250. You know, he's in that 260, 270. A 275 is his peak.
I agree. For those that play in OBP leagues, you also saw his career, the lowest OBP since 2012 for Kyle Seager at 323.
He's a vanilla player. Yes. That's what he is. Nobody's excited about him. Many people are going to take a Devers and go for the young upside. I'm not saying that might not be wrong. I think the one thing I would love to just hit home to people is roster construction really makes a difference. If you have a bunch of veterans and you want, now's the time you take Devers, because, you know, what if Devers bats, you know, 310 and just he beats his projections for this year. He takes that step. Instead of waiting for 2019, he does it in 2018. So that's something, you know, if you're taking Byron Buxton and stuff and some other guys, then I want some more solid guys to fill in behind that.
Fair enough. No, there's one more name I wanted to get to know on today's edition of the program. That's Jonathan Scope. Because I tried to pick out people, specifically Jake Lamb and Jonathan Scope, mm-hmm. as two guys that, again, kind of fantasy darlings last year. Like, everybody loved Jonathan Scope last year. And I felt like, okay, like I get it. Like, I look at his numbers and I see why he should be good. But I didn't wind up with Jonathan Scope anywhere. And I was okay with that. Scope on the season finished with 32 homers, 105 ribbies, 92 runs scored, all from the second base position. Basically beating what he did in 2016, which made everyone like him. Now, the average was slightly down, OBP way down because the dude doesn't walk. Strikeouts still over 20%, while the BABIP was significantly up from 2016. What do you make of Jonathan Scope this year, Matt?
Look, I think Jonathan Scope is like he's the second base version of, say, a Kyle Seager. Everybody's, I think, a little too excited about him.
Yep.
The power's real. We know that. I don't think he's batting
290 again.
I think it's more like 275, which is fine. He's a second baseman, can hit you 25, 30 home runs. You know, I know everybody wants steals. That's why we talked about a guy yesterday, like Brian Dozier.
Yeah.
Why Brian Dozier is a foundation piece. Because even if he's going to bat, you know, the 260-ish, he's going to steal you 15 to 18 bases. He scores 100 runs every year.
Yeah.
It's over the, you know, so there's that. I don't dislike Scope. I was in the year before last year on Scope.
Okay.
Last year, I really didn't get him. There were people that liked him more than me. You know, just, and they were right. Yeah, he had a fantastic year, 32 and 100, whatever he had. So I like Scope, but I think he's more of, say, a 275 hitter, not a 290 plus hitter.
What's interesting is you compare him to Kyle Seager. You can get Kyle Seager a couple of rounds later, I think.
If you take the names Scope away and you made the projections, say you have Scope batting 275 with 30 home runs, and you have Kyle Seager batting 263 with 30 home runs. You know, it's a 10-point average.
Right. And position, second base versus third base.
Yeah, that's what it really
is.
So
you're probably going to want Scope more than Seager, I would think.
But how much more would you want him?
Right. And that's definitely the question. That's definitely the question. The acquisition cost of Jonathan Scope and a Kyle Seager. And listen, for that matter, Jake Lamb. You know, Jake Lamb's going a little bit later than both of these guys. And I get it, because he can't hit lefties. It's a platoon situation. Maybe in a daily game, you look at Jake Lamb, maybe it's a little bit better if you can take him in and out of your lineup, like maneuver it when he's playing lefties, not have him in. Maybe that's what you do against Jake Lamb, because he's that good against righties.
Yeah, no, he is very good against righties. And he's got that now the thing would be
282 against righties last year.
If that humidor went into effect and changed that park, what does that do for Jake Lamb?
Absolutely. But we've been waiting for information regarding the humidor offseason.
It's like America's top secret.
Nah, absolutely. That and how the baseballs have changed in MLB. Certainly some of baseball's top secrets. So there you go. We're going to try to get to know certain players throughout every morning here on Fantasy Sports Today, because I think, and I said this on BFFs as well, the best way to get to know random players is just kind of bring them up and talk about them and group them. We grouped for you random players. Tomorrow, maybe Monday, got a couple more for you, including Justin Turner and what Matt might think of him. So look forward to that in the future. When we come back, Corey's Lock of the Night, our DFS preview on this day and yesterday in history, and so much more. It's Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
With you, FST, Fantasy Sports Today. I'm very excited to find out what happens next. We're getting to the lock of the day, okay. Presented by DailyRoto.com. And Corey's lost, how many days in a row, Matt?
Three days in a row. Okay. We don't need to exaggerate.
I'll never kick a good man when he's down.
I will. I just did. The Rangers stunk last night, huh?
Yeah, you know what? This is the first year. I mean, I really haven't been into hockey that much. It's just so many other things going on. And yeah, it's a shame. It looks like they're going to be making some trades, though. So hopefully they're good ones.
Hopefully they are good ones. Is Glenn Sather still the president there?
No. You know? No, it's Glenn Sather has moved on. He was a very good friend with Dolan, though. Dolan loved him.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was like the hockey version of Isaiah, right?
Yeah, well, he was better, though. He was great in Edmonton. That's the thing. In Edmonton...
That was in the 80s.
But in a small market, the guy was a genius. And he came to the Rangers, and...
Probably, it was 30 years ago. It's crazy. All right,
Greg, what did you connect to get your backup internet, Greg?
I'm on the internet using Anthem 5G.
Yep, me too.
That is our internet?
Anthem 5G is not working for me.
Sorry.
It just did just now. Okay.
All right, are you ready, sir?
Yeah, today's lock of the day is easy, though. I'm just going to go against all. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the easiest one on the board.
Is that the first game?
What is the first game?
The Knicks in Toronto.
There you go, right
Toronto
there.
Toronto is a 14-point favorite at home.
That's the lock of the day.
Lock of the day.
Lock of the day. Toronto covers that 14 versus the Knicks.
All right, there you go. Presented by DailyRoto.com. Make sure you go to DailyRoto.com, by the way. Use that code FANTASY, F-A-N-T-S-Y, because you get 10% off everything. Right, Corey?
10% off everything, promo code FNTSY. Also, coming up next week, we'll have a special golf promotion that we'll be running. So you get a free reek of the golf product, and you hear more about that on 3 Under Par and stuff like that as we go through the rest of the week. So definitely look forward to that for DailyRoto.com and those promotions. You keep saying the Lock of the Day is presented by Daily Roto. They have not paid me for that.
Well, I didn't say they're paying. They just sponsor the segment. It's not you. They sponsor the segment that I created.
But the segment is Corey Parsons' Lock of the Day.
Right.
If they're sponsoring it, then that means something should be given to Corey Parsons.
Well, you can talk to other people about that.
I will make sure that comes up in my negotiations.
Let me know how those go.
The art of the deal.
Read the art of the deal and see if that'll help you.
Yes.
Atlanta's in Orlando. Orlando's a 1.5 favorite there. The Celtics and Wizards tonight, TNT.
That'll be interesting.
That's going to be a good one. Wizards are 1.5 favorite at home in Washington against the Seas.
I think Kyrie gets them going. I think they take this one, the Celtics. Mm-hmm. The Wizards did play well.
The Wizards play to the level of their competition, so they'll be up for this tonight.
Charlotte is in Portland. Portland's a 3.5-point favorite.
Next question.
Yes, you may.
Do you think, do you buy the bounce back theory? They got run out of the building versus the Raptors.
Now they. I'm
buying.
Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see what trades, though. Remember, trade deadline's coming up.
Wait a minute. These two teams got into a couple of fights last year, didn't they? Celtics and the Wizards.
Didn't Washington wear black?
Yeah, they wore black. Yeah, Washington wore black one that one time. Then they had, they had a couple of beats with the Celtics.
Each other.
No, these teams do not like each other.
Must watch television tonight.
There you go, right there.
There you go, indeed. Okay. The Dallas Mavericks are in San Francisco to face the Warriors or Oakland?
Yeah, they're in Oakland, not San Francisco. Excuse you.
Mavericks and Warriors tonight. 12.5-point favorites are the Warriors. Final game this evening, also on TNT. Thunder and Lakers from LA at Staples. The Lakers are OKC is a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, OKC a 3-point favorite versus the Lakers. So, I think OKC covers that, but that's not the lock of the day.
Yeah, it's the Knicks falling to Toronto, not covering the 14-point spread.
Yep, that's the lock of the day right there.
Okay, there you go. Let me see here. All righty. Now, I want to do on this day in history, and there's stuff from yesterday. We didn't do this yesterday. And it's really good stuff, so I'm going to just pretend that it's today.
Uh-huh, I like that.
Because I really liked yesterday's stuff, and we didn't get to it.
Okay. We were busy. You had a lot of going on yesterday.
Big day yesterday.
That was kind of like Justin Verlander. For like a week, we were going to talk about him, but we never got to it.
What?
Matt remembered that, too.
We got there eventually. On this day in history, 1949, Joe DiMaggio became the first player in MLB history to make $100,000 in a year.
And what year was that?
1949.
Wow.
What's more impressive, making him the first one to make $100,000 on marrying Marilyn Monroe?
And then divorcing Marilyn Monroe? When she cheated on him?
Still, but.
For Arthur Miller? All right. 1958.
I guess you're not a Maryland fan.
I am. Who's not a Maryland fan? Of course I'm a Maryland fan.
What happened in 58?
The Dodgers officially became the Los Angeles Dodgers, Inc.
Okay.
That was a smart move by them. The Giants were originally going to Minnesota. And they were talked into it and said, you know, keep the rivalry
really?
Going.
Really? I did not know that story.
That's interesting.
And he got the Dodgers owner got all that land at Chavez Ravine for free. Or at a dirt price if he had to pay anything. You know. He got to fly over the helicopter. He's like, boom, right there. He did pick a great spot, though, I have to say. I love watching a game at Dodger Stadium.
You got
to
be careful, though.
Yeah, fans there, they
get a little rowdy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dog night, though.
Oh, they got
Dodger dogs are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I never had a Dodger dog.
Neither have I, but I've heard good things.
Nice. Oh,
1965. Cassius Clay became Muhammad Ali.
Look at that.
I thought that was a big one.
That's definitely.
That's the
greatest. That's why I wanted to bring that up.
The GOAT, the greatest of all time, mm-hmm. Become and change his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. But. His mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay. I think that was pretty easy.
So that one
comes. Yeah, his mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
1991, we'll fast forward. Bob Knight inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Bob Knight. Mm-hmm. Bob Knight got, he has some charges against him. And I know the lady who did it. That's crazy.
Really?
That's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's funny, I remember the day when she called me and was like, "This, you know, Bob Knight." I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "He's going to be at our job tomorrow," and then it was what? And then something happened. It's crazy.
Did you call her afterwards?
Huh?
Did you call her afterwards?
I've talked to her since then.
Uh
huh. Yeah. Several times since then.
Very interesting.
That's crazy, right?
That's wild. A happy birthday yesterday goes out to Juwan Howard.
Oh, Juwan Howard, Fab Five. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Juwan Howard from Detroit. Probably. Or is he from Chicago? Either one, somewhere in the Midwest, part of those great, one of the members of those great Fab Five teams, also a very good NBA career. Juwan Howard just retired, like, recently, right?
Yeah, because he's always on the bench with LeBron winning
yeah,
championships.
Yeah, that's LeBron,
in Miami.
Yeah, that's right, that was LeBron,
and
man.
And Dwayne Wade, man.
Yeah,
I mean, not for nothing, that's not a bad life.
No.
don't you remember him in the locker room after they win? He'd be like,
yeah, you're like, Juwan Howard's still
what
playing.
What are you doing, Juwan Howard? He was a bullet, wasn't he?
He was a Washington bullet. What pick of the draft was Juwan Howard?
Give me one moment. Juwan Howard is 44 years old now. Mm-hmm. He just retired. He retired in 2013. He's been a coach, assistant coach with the Heat since then.
Okay.
So he retired a while ago. Drafted by the Bullets, as I said, in 94, where he was after his senior season.
So he said
after his junior season.
I'm about to say, he didn't say 3 years.
Yeah. Interesting. Entering the 94-95 season, the NBA players and owners had not yet agreed on terms of the CBA. Mm-hmm. And Howard was unsigned 2 weeks until training camp. That's crazy. He continued to train in Chicago in late September amidst rumors that his draft rights could be traded to another team while holding out. He was rumored to be part of a trade package, whatever. I don't know. This is ridiculous. I'm trying to understand what I'm reading.
There was a draft in 1994.
let's do it like this. 1994.
Every time I think of Fab, I always think of that timeout.
That timeout was brutal. I remember watching
wasn't
that.
His best moment.
No, that wasn't. I was pissed because, you know, they had a chance.
Juwan Howard went number 5 overall.
Number 5 overall. Who was the top? Who was the top? Who was the first 4 picks of that draft?
This is one hell of a draft. Number 1.
Uh-huh.
The big dog.
Glenn Robinson.
Glenn Robinson from?
Oh, Robinson Purdue. Pugh.
Correct. Correct. Number 2. Jason Kidd.
Cal.
Who was the coach from Purdue? Old guy.
I don't know.
Keaton. Right. No, not about to say Gene Keaton.
I know who. He was a good coach.
He just retired recently, too. The longtime coach at Purdue.
Not recently. Cause,
well, he hasn't been with Purdue recently. Right. He was a fixture at Purdue for many years.
Okay, let's see. Purdue head coach, 1994. Google tells me this is football. Head basketball coaches. Basketball. Hold on.
I can't get the name off the top of my tongue.
Okay, here we go. It's Gene Keating. You're right.
Who?
Gene Keating.
Told you.
You're right.
I'm crazy though.
Matt Painter's been there a long time now.
Yeah.
Not as long as Gene Keating was, but Matt Painter's been there a very long time.
I told you, Gene Keating.
Okay. Number 3, Grant Hill.
Grant Hill from the disgusting Brotherhood of Duke University.
Number 4.
Wow, Grant Hill was the 3rd pick of that draft. That's crazy.
Jason Kidd, number 2.
Yeah.
Robinson, 1. Number 4 is Danielle Marshall. From?
UConn.
There you go. That's your top 5.
Interesting.
Who did Marshall go to? Marshall go to Golden State or something? What
he went to Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Went to Minnesota. Yeah. Also, happy birthday goes out to another NBA player. That was Steve Nash yesterday. Steve Nash's birthday.
Steve Nash's birthday. Steve
he was
Nash.
A good player.
He won a couple of MVPs. Some would call him a system player.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I said some. I didn't say.
Are you?
Hate is gonna hate.
I'm not hating on Steve Nash.
I'm not saying you. I'm not
Steve Nash. Nah, he's not a system player.
Yesterday on February 7th, we celebrated the birthday of Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford, the highest paid player in the NFL.
How old is Stafford now? Is that his?
He is 30 years old.
Matthew Stafford, former Georgia Bulldog.
Turned 30 years old. Also, happy birthday, 1990. That goes out to Steven Stamkos.
Steven Stamkos is a hell of a player, too.
Hell of a player. You know what sport he plays?
Hockey.
That's correct. Steven Stamkos. You know what team he plays for?
No.
Okay.
Thunder.
Lightning.
There you go.
That's not why they brought me here.
And finally, yesterday in 1988, Mike Tyson got married.
To Robin Givens?
To Robin Givens.
She had him on a...
And there
I
you
think
go.
They're bringing Dapper Dan's back.
With that...
I do. I think they're bringing Dapper Dan's back.
It's time to talk to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. And we will do that right after this.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Russia was banned from the Olympics because the entire team was doping. I think Putin was just like, light up, boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
Oh, he was giving out the shots himself.
Yeah, no, I think so. You could try to appeal this ruling, and if your appeal is granted, you could basically represent yourself, which is what Team OAR is doing.
Somebody was, like, repealing that decision, saying there wasn't enough evidence.
The nation of Russia will not, but ultimately 168 athletes could have that ability, and they would represent the OAR, Olympic athletes from Russia.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
With you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Fantasy Sports Today. And alongside Corey Parks, Matt Modica, it is now time to bring in the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
Not too much, man. Not too much. Olympics, of course, have officially begun. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, actually.
Really?
Very excited. Yeah.
Okay, this is one of those weird things where I was ready for Jake to just be like, I hate everything! And he didn't.
No, because I love the X Games, and they have a lot of X Games events in them now.
Will you be putting up an Olympic USA jersey?
No.
Not a bad idea.
Unless you want to buy it for me and send it, then I'll put it up.
This is cool.
He's like, I'm good. He just tried to get
I don't have any children yet, so I'll save it for them.
All right. Jake, what's your favorite event, bud?
It's close. It's either between Big Air and Half Pipe for snowboarding. Although skiing's right behind that.
So interesting. So as you were saying, you're into like the Super X Gamesy events. Well, the classic like winter Olympic watchers are always are all into the ice skating and stuff like that.
No, but the X Games, those are great. The male and female versions of them. I do like the downhill skiing and stuff like that. That's the luge, like I say. It's just, it's crazy to put yourself on that thing.
They've got a new long track speed skating event that they're doing this year with 24 people on the ice, and you can't pass the first lap. It's supposed to be like NASCAR and ice. That's going to be insane.
Yeah, that don't sound too safe.
Corey, do you watch the Winter Olympics?
No.
Do you watch the Summer Olympics?
Yeah, I like the Summer Olympics.
Wait, how come you don't like the Winter Olympics?
Well, because there's nothing interesting in the Winter Olympics.
Well,
I don't understand why y'all keep asking me that. Like, it's something interesting in the Winter Olympics. I don't watch hockey. I could see the hockey being interesting.
Have you tried watching any of the X Games stuff?
No, I have not. I've never gotten into that. I've never tried the X
Games. Give it a try.
I see the dudes in the air flipping in the snow and stuff. I just didn't. It never caught me. I'm not into figure skating, you know. Curling, I don't even know what that is.
It's fun. It's right outside here.
Bobsled, I don't know too much about. I'm just a warm weather guy.
Sorry, it's a triple cork 1440, by the way.
Triple cork 1440.
I thought they did a great job with the commercials for Shaun White, for Lindsey Vonn and stuff. I thought those were really cool, getting people geared up for it.
Yeah.
Somebody else did.
Yeah, that was cool.
I did like the commercial, the Lindsey Vonn commercial.
Listen, I'm excited
because she took a big spill.
It's something fun to watch every night, right? Like it's something fun to just check out.
Greg, what's fun? What events are you into?
Oh, Pride, just told USA.
You. Can I be honest with you? It could be anything, right? It could literally be anything, and I find myself pulling for some random USA athlete who I've never heard of before.
Do you root against the USA?
Never. Okay. Never.
That was the correct answer.
I don't. Do you, Corey? Do you ever root against the USA?
I've never rooted against the United States of America.
Never.
What are you trying to do? No, what are you insinuating?
Did that ask me a question? I posed it to you.
Oh, no. Why would I root against the United States of America?
I agree with you. I always root for Team USA. Absolutely. I'm very excited for the military parade coming.
I'm excited for, like, BFFs. Are you guys going to open up one day? Like, remember, like, Rocky and Drago, USA. USA.
I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, I can see that happening too.
I can also see us grabbing a candle from the restaurant, lighting the Olympic torch today. I can see that happening too. but we'll see. Coming up next is FST Overtime with Corey, Matt, and Jake. We'll do the Roto Experts podcast after that. That should be funny. A lot more basic. You were ringing up a storm.
Man, that's my man.
It's Q.
That's a homie. Who?
Q. Do you have a friend Q?
I'm trying to think, who is Q?
No, Q calls in.
No, Q is the home.
He's got his own song.
Q is the caller. That's Q. I don't have a home.
And if it was
Q,
it would probably be like 15 text pages.
Jake, have you ever heard how many times this thing beeps? It was 15 text pages. It's 15 text pages. For the all-in key, Jake, silly. From Matt Wadika, Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. These guys will continue on. Take a break. I'll be back at noon for the Roto Extras podcast, which you can watch live on YouTube, Twitter, wherever you watch anything, or download the podcast, wherever you listen to those too. See you in a little bit. We'll be back right after this.